Welcome into our 2025 high school football preview podcast on Piedmont Broadcasting. Ryan Stone and Brandon Burnett here with you with the high school football season officially getting underway in 11 days as we record this on August the 18th. But a number of teams, of course, playing their benefit games this Friday night, and that starts with two local programs that have been powerhouses, really matching up with each other in GW and Gretna. And should be a good early season test for both these teams, Brandon. I mean, GW, of course, looking to figure out who their new quarterback is going to be. And for Gretna, they have a young offensive line that's going to get a stiff early preseason test against the GW defensive line that many think could be the best in the state.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be definitely very interesting to see what happens because Gretna is coming off a regional championship appearance. And GW went to the regional semis last year. So both teams had very successful seasons. And, you know, GW is a great unknown. We'll see what happens to the quarterback situation. I don't know if there's any confirmation yet on who the quarterback's going to be. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in that game, even though it is a benefit game and it is technically an unofficial game. But it's the first time GW and Gretna have ever played each other in any form.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a game that I think a lot of people have really looked forward to, and for GW in particular, it leads way to a matchup against a Reidsville team, a matchup that people in the area have kind of been clamoring for a few years now. So, and the thing to note going into that game is that Reidsville will already have a real game under their belt. This will be their second game of the season, which sometimes can serve as an advantage, sometimes can serve as a disadvantage, but it'll kick off what is a very tough schedule, quite frankly, for this GW team that they've put together.
Yeah, especially the first month of the season. Good gosh. I mean, they go to Reidsville. They play at Amherst. They play home against EC Glass. And then they also have trying to remember. Well, what's their last?
Lord Botetourt's another non-conference game team, and William Fleming, who supposedly looks like they could be a juggernaut again this year. So
that's not William Fleming.
They have a very tough non-district schedule, which is exactly what they wanted. We'll hear from Coach Anderson about that here in a second. But you know, it's entirely possible this GW team could be better than last season, but the record may not reflect that going into the postseason. But they will be battle tested for sure when playoff time gets here.
Yeah, I mean, they only had one loss going into the playoffs last year, and that was the opening game of the year against Dinwiddie. And it's going to be hard for them to come away unscathed with that record, with that schedule, especially when you have so many games on the road.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you know, last year they were 9-1 in the regular season. I'm not saying that they can't do that again, but it will certainly be. It's a more challenging schedule this year. I don't think that's any secret. I think they will tell you it's a more challenging schedule, which is exactly what they wanted. And we'll go ahead and actually let you hear from GW head coach Nick Anderson here on our preseason podcast. And now joining us on our preseason high school football podcast is head coach of the GW Eagles, Nick Anderson, joining us now on the show. And and coach, I mean, obviously, you know, coming off a good year last year, 10-2, make it to the second round of the playoffs. You bring back a lot from last year's team. Just kind of from what you've seen in camp, what do you think is, you know, kind of the outlook for this group?
You know, the guys have been working really hard this off season, you know, in the weight room and you know, practicing and stuff this summer. It's been great. The kids are really excited, and you know, expecting a good season. The question marks of quarterback and running back and linebacker, those are the big positions that we lost last year. You know, those guys are working hard trying to fit in their own role. No decisions have been made on who's going to be the starters in those positions, but we got a number of guys working extremely hard.
You mentioned the quarterback battle, obviously. I mean, you've got two guys that, you know, kind of vying for that position right now to, you know, replace Neo Cabell, who was a three-year starter. Just kind of what have you seen from those two guys in that battle?
Well, you know, Octavian, he brings a lot of experience to the table. He knows our offense really well. He's been running it for 2 years. On the JV level, and he doesn't make a mistake most of the time when you're talking about assignments. And then we have Josiah Saunders, who, you know, you look at him and he looks like he could possibly be a recruitable kid at multiple positions. Very athletic, tall, fast, strong, and he's got a good arm. But, you know, where he lacks is his experience. He has not played quarterback. He got hurt last year, was out for the majority of the season. So, you know, where he is struggling is his experience. Mechanics look really good. But, you know, he's got a lot to learn in a short period of time. So, you know, we're kind of moving forward with him, too, as well.
Obviously, the season gets underway now in 3 weeks, but you play a benefit game against Gretna on the 22nd. Just, you know, your overall impressions of the schedule. I mean, you know, non-conference in particular, the schedule is pretty impressive this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? We're you know, if we want to be one of the best teams in the state, we got to play with the best teams around. So, you know, we're playing a really good team right out the gate in Reidsville, who's, you know, a powerhouse in North Carolina, won multiple state championships. You know, we've added Lord Botetourt and William Fleming, who both had really good seasons last year. And, you know, we've kept the ones who done well, good matchups against us as well, and Amherst and EC Glass. And, you know, there's, I'm really excited about that non-district schedule because it's going to give us a lot of answers to some questions we might have about our team, you know, with the, you know, the big time positions that we're having to replace this year.
Yeah, certainly, certainly true. Going to be some early season good matchups, no question about that. Obviously, I mean, we touched on, you know, you guys bring a lot back from last year, in particular the strength being that defensive line. That what you know, how good can that group be this year?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. You know, we're very blessed at GW right now to have a good group of kids coming through. And, you know, the linemen are the core of this team. They work extremely hard. You know, then obviously they're the strength of our team. And you know, we're going to put a lot of weight on their shoulders. A lot of these guys have been – this will be their third year starting on varsity, you know, because a lot of them started when they were sophomores. They're really good football players, and they've gotten, you know, strong over the last 4 years. So, yeah, a lot of weight's going to be on their shoulders, and, you know, we're excited about how they're playing.
The unit, you know, that's right behind that defensive line, obviously the linebackers you kind of mentioned. I mean, you lose two really good linebackers last year in Avante Fitzgerald and Kalik Hairston. What have you seen from this new group of linebackers so far?
Well, you know, a little bit of the same, honestly. They've got some speed at linebacker. You know, I think what Fitzgerald did so well was making his reads and reacting extremely quick, being very explosive. So we've got a couple of guys working at Mike position that we're trying to find somebody like old Fitzgerald who made us all look good at times. And then, you know, the other linebacker, Kalik, you know, we lost him due to graduation. And he was our wheel linebacker. And we've got a number of guys working there. Dietz is working there, Jackson Dietz. He's doing really good. We got Jaden Nelson and Torian White, who are all working that position where Kalik was at. And a couple of them are working where Fitzgerald was at. Just trying to find the best combination. You know, we've got four or five really good linebackers, but they play other positions. So, you know, we want to make sure that we get the best pieces to the puzzle and put the best two linebackers out there so we're not hurting ourselves in other positions.
On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you lose Jaden Glenn at running back last year, but you do bring Alex Brandon back, who had a really good year when Jaden got injured last year. And then we were talking the other day, and you mentioned, I mean, you're kind of excited about the group of running backs behind Alex Brandon as well.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Brandon's our workhorse. You know, he's worked extremely hard the last 3 years to get where he's at now. You know, but if you look right behind him, you got Keyshawn Waller, who's a young kid, rising sophomore, great speed. Obviously needs to put on some more muscle. But great vision, cuts well, looks smooth when he cuts. And then we've got Stanford Lipscomb, who's going to be toting the ball for us, playing multiple different positions. And, you know, we have another kid, Ty Davis, who's going to be toting the ball a little bit for us. So, yeah, the running back room is full and cramped, but that's a good problem to have when I get all these big linemen in front of them too. So, yeah, we're excited about, you know, how that running back group's coming along.
Yeah, certainly it looks like it's going to be a promising group, no question about that. Last question before I let you go. I mean, what do you think will be the biggest key for you guys this season if you're going to be able to have a strong year?
Well, right now, you know, our biggest thing we've been talking about right now is maturity. You know, we're blessed with good football players and a good coaching staff, and we got a good, you know, offensive and defensive strategy this year, I think. But, you know, like teenagers love to do, they play around. And, you know, what we're talking about now is, when is it the time to play and when is it the time to work? And I think teenagers all have to learn that. Something we've been teaching, you know, this summer. And but maturity, you know, us locking in and staying locked in for four quarters and starting off at a high note and finishing at a high note. Yeah, I think if we can control those things, I think we might have a good season.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. Should be another good year for the Eagles. Again, we've been talking to the GW head coach, Nick Anderson, joining us on our preseason podcast. Coach, as always, appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck this year. And again, that was GW Eagles head coach Nick Anderson joining us on our preseason podcast. You heard him talk about the quarterback battle. As far as we know to this point, no decision has been made. I haven't even seen what the starters are going to be for Friday night yet, so I don't even know which quarterback is going to get the first snaps on Friday night, whether it's Covington or Saunders. But it's shaping up to be a really interesting battle. And again, like we were talking about the schedule, I mean, the schedule is pretty brutal. You know, Reidsville will be playing their second game when they open with Reidsville. Reidsville opens this Friday against Northern Guilford. But, you know, it's a game that, you know, it's Reidsville's always clamored for these opportunities to play bigger schools, and they're now starting to get them. So these are games that mean a lot to these Reidsville players. And, you know, The ultimate task for GW, and we'll talk about it more obviously once when we, you know, do the game on Friday night on WBTM on August 29th. But the ultimate task is going to be, how the heck do you cover 6'7", 235-pound Kendra Harrison at tight end?
I tell you, I tip my cap, because I tell you, that's going to be a very, very hard assignment, because he is a big man.
Yeah, he is. He's an absolute monster. There's a reason he's going to Oregon. There's a reason he's the top-rated tight end in the state. But again, it should make for a really interesting schedule for GW this year. On the other side of that benefit game that we've got this Friday on WBTM is the Gretna Hawks, who, as you mentioned, you made it to the third round of the playoffs last year. This is a good preseason test for them. It leads way into a matchup again with Jefferson Forest to start out the season. So it's a good barometer for a Gretna team that brings the majority of their skill players back. They bring back you know, their star quarterback, Rayshon Logan. A lot of the skill guys they bring back as well, but they are kind of inexperienced on the offensive line. So that's going to be an interesting thing to follow for them early in the season for this Gretna team, because that's one of those things that, you know, it doesn't matter how good your quarterback is, if you can't protect him and keep him upright, it's not gonna matter but so much. But it's hard to not give them the benefit of the doubt, that coaching staff the benefit of the doubt to an extent.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be very hard for it. You know, that's a heck of a test to go up against GW's defensive line and then go up against the defensive line of the caliber Jefferson Forest in your first 2 weeks.
And then, I mean, you know, their non-conference is also it's not GW's non-conference, but it's not easy. I mean, they get, you know, at Jefferson Forest, they then host Bassett, who's a bigger school also, and they'll also host Halifax County as well in the non-district. So their non-district schedule is no cupcake walk either for Gretna. So they will get tested, especially the first 2 weeks of the season when they take on as we mentioned, Jefferson Forest, but also, you know, a Bassett team that I think is going to be improved this year.
I definitely think so. I definitely think, you know, Bassett didn't have as good a season last year, but, you know, Coach Brandon Johnson's still there.
The quarterback's back as well.
That's right.
Who was phenomenal at the end of that GW game last year.
Oh, yeah. He was great. Yeah. Honestly, if it wasn't for that, that game would have been much, much more lopsided towards the end. But, you know, Gretna, going back to Gretna, it is interesting Gretna plays Jefferson Forest again.
Yep.
This is the third or fourth straight year they play them in the regular season opener.
Yeah, trying to get over the hump and beat them this year, because they got close 2 years ago. Last year it was a little lopsided in that matchup, but they will try to see if they can get over the hump against that Jefferson Forest team this year. That's their opening season matchup. Like we said, they will have a benefit game this Friday against the GW, like we talked about. Speaking of the Gretna Hawks, we'll now hear from head coach Sean Miller here on our preseason podcast. And now joining us on our preseason podcast is head coach of the Gretna Hawks, Sean Miller, joining us. Gretna coming off of a 9-4 season last year, made it to the third round of the playoffs. So, coach, just to start things off, I mean, just in terms of your overall perspective on the group you've got this year, you know, what have you seen so far in camp?
Yeah, returning 8 starters on offense. 6 on defense. We have a couple guys that go both ways. Our quarterback, second-year starter, Rayshawn Logan, definitely has a grasp on what we want to do with our offense. We basically go through that guy. We will be a little inexperienced up front, but we're going to try to keep it simple, especially starting early in the season, and see what happens.
Yeah, certainly, like you said, you guys bring back a good amount of starters from a team that, you know, made it to the third round of the playoffs last year. You know, you start the season off, you know, the schedule this year is pretty, I mean, granted, it's not a regular season game, but you'll play GW here in a couple weeks in the benefit game, and then you start the regular season with Jefferson Forest. So just, you know, what are your thoughts on the schedule overall for you guys this year?
Yes, we always try to schedule a couple of tough opponents early on just to prepare for the playoffs and see where we are as a unit. JF, of course, has been on our schedule since I became the head coach. So we kind of like that rivalry. Well, I shouldn't say rivalry, but that first game. JT and his bunch, they do a great job with them over there at JF. And, you know, we've been wanting to play GW for many years now, so Coach Anderson, he reached out, and we have that opportunity this year.
Yeah, it should make for a really exciting benefit game. I mean, two of the more consistent programs in the area getting on the field together. You mentioned, you know, Rayshawn, you know, having him back at quarterback. I mean, how much of a luxury is that to have, you know, a guy that's so experienced at the quarterback position and, you know, has just been so good for you guys already in his career?
Yes, definitely a blessing, man. Like I said, Ray's been with us his entire high school career. He started off on our JV team, of course, and as a sophomore, he played some minutes behind Melvin Wooten, and like last year he got his opportunity. So like I said, he's been in the program. He kind of know what we want from our athletes, and he has a good grasp of our offense.
You mentioned, you know, being a little inexperienced up front, but, you know, but overall, I mean, when you look at this this offense in particular, having your quarterback back, you know, how good do you think this offense can be this year?
We'll see, man. I think it's going to be on a week-to-week basis, especially having those couple tough opponents at the beginning of the season, GW, JF, and then a tough, solid Bassett team. But, again, and then Halifax right there before our meetings and break, but I think that's what it's about, though. You know, kind of see what you have early, and then if we can stay healthy, man, we can have a good run this playoffs.
You know, the Dogwood District was a pretty tough district last year. Obviously, I mean, you guys, you know, at the top, Alta Vista had a good season as well. There were a number of other teams that made the playoffs from that district last year as well. How tough do you anticipate the district being this year?
Yes, the Dogwood is always a tough district. I think the last maybe 20 years or so, it's either been pretty much, you know, Gretna, Appomattox, and the Alta Vista even have a couple of state championships in there. So it's always some solid football. And then, you know, we had the Edmond boys over there at Dan River. So it's a great
district, and it should be fun.
Yeah, should make for a really fun season. No question about that. You mentioned you bring six starters back on the defensive side of the ball. Just kind of what is your expectations for that unit this year?
Yes, we have six guys returning on defense, like you mentioned. The expectation for those guys, just give us opportunities to get turnovers, to eliminate big runs, big plays. They have some experience, but we're going to keep it simple. See ball, get ball, fly around and make plays.
When you look at, I know you mentioned, offensive line up front, you're a little bit young. I mean, is there an area of this team outside of your quarterback, obviously, that you feel like, has a chance to be a really special group for you?
Yes. I think any one of our receivers can make big plays. They're all along. I think we pretty much like 6 foot across the board. Braden Breedlove, he's a junior. He's going to start in the slot for us. Tyson Miller, a sophomore, 6 foot, 185. He will start as well as in the slot. And then TJ Tanks and Keyshawn Witcher, respectively, will be the X's on the outside. And both of those guys are, right at 6 foot as well. They all run good routes, can take the top off and make the tough catches across the middle as well. And then as far as our defense, I like the way Tyson played last year. He was all-region player for us. Jaden and Keyshawn as well, they will return at each one of the corner positions. And then our all-state linebacker, Rainier Jones, he'll be in his senior year. So we're looking for him to lead us on defense as well.
What do you think, if you guys are going to have a good season, what do you think are going to be the big keys for this group to be able to achieve that?
I think for us to have a huge season, big season, is for those young guys up front to kind of just anchor us down and believe in and trust the process. I know starting out, things are going to be fast for them, but if they stay the course, it really starts up front for us, because I think we have exactly what we want, what we need at the skill position and definitely at the quarterback position. So if we can have some good line play, give our running back some lanes, our quarterback some time in the passing game, we'll be able to make some big plays. It always just staying healthy.
Yeah, health is always the X factor, no question about that. Again, we've been talking to Gretna head coach Sean Miller as they get ready to get the season underway here in a few weeks. Coach, appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and wish you the best of luck this year.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
And again, that was Gretna head coach Sean Miller on our preseason podcast. Appreciate him taking the time for joining us. They may have the best quarterback in the area in Rayshon Logan coming back, so it'll be interesting to see his ascension this year and how well he can play. Like I said, the question for them is going to be that offensive line and their defense a little bit. They got quite a few guys to replace on defense as well this season, but certainly expect the Gretna Hawks to be a playoff team and be right there in the mix for the Dogwood District championship. Another team that the Hawks play pretty early in the season is the Tunstall Trojans. That'll be their week three matchup. Tunstall has their benefit game against Hidden Valley this Friday. They'll then open on the 29th against Dan River, so a cross-county rivalry showdown. This is the third year for head coach Kirkland Brown, who will join us in just a minute. And there hasn't been, a ton of wins in his first couple of years. It hasn't shown up in the win column, but their numbers have increased. The one thing you talked to him about was the emphasis on the weight room. Talks about how much of a difference you see in their bodies going into this year. And you also now got, even though they're going to be a younger team this year, you've got kids that have now been in the program for 2 and 3 years and kind of know what the expectation is. So it'll be interesting to see how the Trojans fare in year three under Coach Brown.
Yeah, you have to remember, Coach Brown took over the program and it was in a state of flux. I mean, it's been a lot of turnover for this program for the last decade plus. You've gone through several head coaching changes. Thing is, Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, he did take over a pretty bare cupboard when he took over 2 years ago. And you know, this year, I have to say, you know, third year, you know, things, people are going to be like, hey, you know, we need to get, you know, have some results out here.
Yeah.
And the thing is, with their schedule, I mean, there are some games in here, and I'm looking at the schedule right now. They've got a chance to compete in these games. I mean, it's going to be hard against teams like Magna Vista or GW.
I think a big priority for them is they've got to get one of these first two games between Dan River and Chatham, the first two games of the season. They've got to get one of those games, because if they can win one of those, you know, you build some confidence, and then you know, you maybe have a chance against Cave Spring, Halifax County, Martinsville. And then you maybe open up yourself to a 3 or 4 win season potentially. So I think if they can split those first two games, if they can get one of those, I think that'll go a long way for this team.
Yeah, and to tell you the honest truth, I don't know what the heck to expect from Martinsville.
Yeah, no, I know they got some nice new uniforms. I saw that on social media. They're going to look great. That's for sure. But Martinsville, they do have their quarterbacks. Got a few Division I offers. He's expected to be pretty good. So, not to say that Martinsville can't win that game either. But I think if you beat Dan River or Chatham or both, potentially that would be the best case scenario. Obviously, you maybe open yourself up to try to get yourself to a 3 or 4 win season, and that really shows some progress for Coach Brown and the Tunstall coaching staff. And speaking of Coach Brown, we will hear from him now here on our preseason podcast. And now joining us on our preseason high school football podcast is head coach of the Tunstall Trojans, Kirkland Brown. So as a coach, a couple weeks out from the start of the season as we have this this discussion, just kind of give me the overview of your team and what you expect this season.
Yeah, looking at our guys, we return a lot of kids, from the JV up to the varsity. So kind of youthful, but a lot of these kids have played together now for 2 years and have a lot of reps. Don't have a big senior class, but, I'll look for this junior and sophomore group to carry us a lot throughout this year. We had a great offseason in the weight room throughout the spring and then all summer long. And, our numbers are really good. So I'm, really excited to see, what we can do starting the season. We've got a lot of good athletes out, probably the most that I've had since I've been here. We have to replace a lot of kids up front on both sides, but we have the bodies and we have the skill, just haven't seen it in game form yet, but really excited to kind of see where these guys can start and go.
This is year three for you as the head coach there at Tunstall. First couple of years there obviously hasn't been a ton of wins, but you were, kind of rebuilding everything from the ground up. When you're doing that, a lot of times you have to, you kind of see growth in areas that may not always show up as wins. In what ways have you seen, the program grow as you head into year three?
Well, just an emphasis in the weight room and just overall, just our, physical development's big, something that I've, we made a priority to, as our staff, and we've really seen our kids' bodies changed. We stay in the hallways recruiting, our numbers have gone way up. We've got a lot of really good athletes out this year, so I'm excited about that. Obviously the wins have not matched what we think it should. But I think we've taken a lot of good steps to kind of put us in a position to start, building on that, starting this year. The third year is a big year. These guys have been in our program now for 3 years, and so they know what to expect. There's a standard set, and so I'm really excited to kind of see the steps we take going into this year.
You start the preseason, I guess, with the scrimmage against Hidden Valley on the 22nd, and then open the season against Dan River on the 29th. Just kind of when you look at the schedule as a whole, what are your thoughts on the schedule overall for you guys this year?
Yeah, they make us play all of our county schools, here in Pennsylvania County, which is good. I think it's really good that we can kind of get off to that start with our first three games. The Hidden Valley scrimmage is something that we've always done. They're going to kind of match us with our personnel and just who we are and who they are very similar. So that's always a really good competitive scrimmage. And it kind of gives me a gauge, I think, on where we can start the year. But opening up with Dan River, Chatham, and Gretna, those are schools that are similar to our size, obviously same county, so close to the same type of kid. And so I feel like that's going to be a really good gauge for me and our coaching staff to kind of see where we're going to fall in our district play. So those first three games are really big for us. And then we go to Cave Spring, which is another program that I feel like from a player-to-player standpoint is going to be similar to us as well. So I really look for those first four games to really be kind of a gauge for us. And if we can kind of get the ball rolling early, get some early success, I think that will help carry us through our tough district play.
Again, we're talking to Tunstall head coach Kirkland Brown here on our preseason podcast. As you look at the offensive side of the ball for this team, I know you were telling me before we came on you have about five starters back. Just kind of what are your expectations for the offense this season?
Well, you know, I think we're gonna, you know, I think what fans are gonna see and what other teams are gonna see is we're not gonna be so heavily reliant on, you know, one player to kind of carry the load on offense. I think you're going to see about 4 to 5 different guys touching the ball in terms of the run game. You know, we return Aiden Totten and Decaden Pritchett on the outside to play receiver. Both are juniors. Both probably combined for over 35, 36 catches last year. So I think you're going to see a very balanced attack, not necessarily 50-50 run pass, but in terms of who is getting the football. You know, we're you know, definitely replacing some guys up front in terms of size, but I do think we're pretty athletic up front. So I look to see us trying to climb to the next level and try to hit things quickly. But just definitely a more of a balance offensively than just one or two people kind of seeing touches.
When you look at the other side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball, I know you said kind of similar. You guys bring about 5 guys back on that side of the ball. What are your expectations for this defensive unit this year?
Yeah, you know, we took some good strides, I thought, in the defensive backfield last year through the pass game. You know, we struggled in the run game, but in the pass game, we played really well. And so we, you know, return all but one of those guys in the back end. So they have a lot of experience. We have a lot of linebacker type bodies, you know, right now. And so there's a lot of competition for those really 4 to 5 spots. And so that's been really good to see. Again, they're youthful kids, but they're very athletic, strong kids, can play. So I'm really looking for those guys to kind of set the tone on our defense. And then kind of like offensively, we're you know, very young up front on the D-line, but I like their athleticism. I like how active they are. So we're going to try to be, you know, pretty aggressive on the defensive side of the ball to force people's hands. I don't think with our kids we can sit back and just, you know, allow the offense to dictate. So we're going to try to dictate things on the defensive side and just be very aggressive going forward.
Is there an area of this team that you feel like is kind of a standout, you know, strong point right now as you, you know, get ready for the season?
Well, you know, it's kind of the same on both sides. We have some kids going both ways, but really, you know, our running back room and our linebacker room is very deep. We have a ton of competition, whether they be, you know, a junior, a sophomore, or, you know, and some freshmen are even, you know, kind of stepping up to that. So that group right there, you're going to see about 8 to 10 of those different guys, like I said, touching the ball, playing linebacker, playing that strong safety position that I think is going to be our strength of our football program going forward.
What do you think? What do you think will be the keys for this team this year? If you guys are going to, you know, be able to have a successful season.
Well, you know, I think we got to force turnovers. That's something we haven't been great at. Last year, we had a good amount of interceptions, but we've got to be aggressive and turn the ball over on defense. You know, as all coaches are going to tell you, but that's got to be, you know, that's been an emphasis for us. And then offensively, ball control and just spreading the ball out. You know, not being predictable. You know, making sure we retain possession, but also, encouraging our guys to play together on both sides of the ball and just, you know, controlling the ball, controlling the line of scrimmage. That's going to be key for us going forward. We can't get in track meets with people. I don't think that's who we are. But I do think in a game of grinding it out, you know, playing more of a defensive minded game, I think we can be okay going forward.
You know, we've been talking to the Tunstall head coach Kirkland Brown here on our preseason podcast as they get ready to get the season underway. They'll have their benefit game against Hidden Valley on August 22nd and then open the regular season when they host Dan River on August 29th. Coach, appreciate you taking the time to speak with us and wish you the best of luck this year.
Absolutely, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Go Trojans.
And again, that was head coach Kirkland Brown joining us on for the Tunstall Trojans, joining us on our preseason football podcast. Ryan Stone, Brandon Burnett here with you. As we mentioned, you know, Tunstall year three under under Coach Brown. They will open their season on the 29th against Dan River. So nice little natural segue there for us as you know, Micah Knight, will, the head coach of the Wildcats, will join us next. You know, Dan River, the big question is going to be who's the running back, because DJ Gregory, who set all the school records, is now walking on at the team in Norfolk State. You know, it's hard to believe he didn't get more offers and more opportunities, but you know, sometimes, you know, colleges miss, you know, so people, you know, miss out on guys for whatever reason. Hopefully, you know, he gets his opportunity at Norfolk State and is able to make the most of it, because he was a heck of a running back for Dan River. But the good news for Dan River, actually, though, is that they do bring a lot back from last season. And that was a little down year for Dan River, 3-7 in under Coach Knight in his first year. But they bring a lot back this year, and I think we're probably looking at a bounce back season potentially for Dan River this year.
Yeah, I definitely can see that happening, because I do feel like they were kind of a project last year with under a first year coach, and you know, having a lot of turnover as well. We talk about that a lot, turnover, with some of these coaching changes we've seen in the last several seasons. And also, you know, those are some very big shoes to fill at running back. I tell you, that's going to be interesting to see. That's going to be the biggest question. It's like what GW has with their quarterback situation. You know, they're replacing two. I mean, GW is replacing Neil Cabell.
Yep.
And, you know, and then you have the the running back situation with Dan River. Those are two best players of these five teams that we are covering on this podcast. Those are the two best players, in my opinion, last year.
That aren't here anymore.
They aren't here anymore.
Well, I would also throw in Avante Fitzgerald at linebacker for GW as well. That's another key spot that the Eagles have to fill also. But, yeah, I mean, I would agree. They're probably the two biggest questions in terms of replacing guys for teams in this area this offseason. But, you know, you look at the schedule for Dan River in terms of how things open up. We mentioned at Tunstall, at Halifax County, they host Bassett. They host Martinsville. I mean, they've got a chance out of the gate to potentially go 3-1, 4-0 even maybe before they get into district play. And then, you know, you're really only probably a couple wins away from locking up a playoff spot. So, I mean, you know, the start to the season, kind of like we said for Tunstall a little bit, but I think especially for Dan River, the start to the season is going to be the key.
I'll tell you one thing, that's a heck of a 1-2 step to start the district play, going to Appomattox and then playing Alta Vista. That's a heck of a 1-2 step there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, Dan River definitely has an opportunity to have a good start to the season. And I think that's beneficial for a team that has not had, you know, it's been a while since they've had a fast start on the season. And I think they have a chance to do, to make some noise and definitely turn some heads.
Yeah. If they can, you know, start 3-1 or even 4-0, I mean, it would certainly put themselves in a great situation going into in conference play. We'll now step aside here and talk to Dan River head coach Micah Knight about his expectations for the Wildcats this season. And now joining us on our high school football preview podcast is head coach of the Dan River Wildcats, Micah Knight, now joining us on the show. So, coach, I mean, I know you know, last year was a little bit of a disappointing season for you guys, but you know, from what you were telling me before we got on the air, you guys bring back quite a bit of experience from last year.
Yes, sir. So our entire offensive line returns. We're super excited about that. So those guys are experienced this year. So, you know, that alone is a stronghold for us, and we're excited about that. Our wide receiver core has a lot of experience. Our quarterback is a returning quarterback from a previous year. So he's back in the role. So everybody has experience, and we're excited about that.
I know, I mean, obviously you lose DJ Gregory, who's the all-time leading rusher for the program. How do you go about, you know, trying to fill that loss this season?
Well, DJ is a rare talent, and he's very hard. We have some young guys who have game experience, who we're excited about this year. We have about four guys that we're going to be running this year. So we've added a little bit to our stable. So we're excited about these guys. And we got some good size, too, behind running the ball.
You mentioned, you know, offense. You guys bring back a lot, particularly in terms of guys that got experience last year. What about on the defensive side of the ball? How is that side of the ball looking for the Wildcats so far this offseason?
Well, we have our linebacker who's returning, Trevor Thomas, who is Sort of starter, second team all district guy. We're excited about him. I definitely think he's gonna, you know, make some headway this year. We also have a transfer from Chatham, O'Brien Myers, coming on as a free safety. He's big, he's fast. We're excited about his capability as well. D-line is a new group. Got a little bit of game experience, but our linebacker core and that secondary is gonna be strong for us. Got a couple of guys who also got some game experience who'll be back there.
I guess, you know, as you go into, you know, your second year as the head coach, I guess, you know, overall, you know, what improvements, I guess, have you seen this offseason in the program, you know, from year one to year two?
Conditioning. I think we've gotten stronger. The guys seem like they've been in the weight room a little more this year, spending extra time on the off season, getting in there, man, running, doing some conditioning. So I think that alone was going to help us. We're going to be a little fast paced this year. So we're looking to wear down some teams with our conditioning.
You mentioned, you know, looking to wear down teams with the conditioning. When you look at the schedule that you guys have in front of you this year, obviously the Dogwood District's always a challenging district. But then, you know, you guys play obviously you know, Tunstall as well, and then Halifax County, Bassett, and Martinsville in the non-district action. So, you know, just kind of what's your thoughts on the schedule overall that you guys have put together?
I feel like it's a level playing field. I feel like, you know, a lot of teams are looking for a new identity, lost a lot of guys and looking for guys to step up in a lot of places. So I think we have a good chance of shocking the area and making a good run. I'm very excited about our chances. Yep.
You know, you mentioned, you know, with the amount of experience that you guys have back, you know, who are some guys that you can tell us about that you're kind of expecting to have breakout years for you for the Wildcats?
Okay. At center, Carter Fanning, he's returning. Colin White, he's a guard. He's returning. Kyung Myers, he's our running back this year. He played had some time at behind DJ last year. We're excited about the opportunity that he's going to have. Josh Richardson, and our quarterback from last year, Keon Brooks. He's moved to receiver. He's grown a little bit. He's gotten a little more athletic, so we're excited about the chances he's going to have on the edge as well. So those guys are going to do some things for us on the offense.
You mentioned that you have a quarterback that, you know, has played quarterback for you before, but it was Keon Brooks that played quarterback last year. So who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Wildcats this year?
JoJo Farmer, Josiah Farmer. He's going to be our guy going into week one.
What is it about him that you know, made you guys, you know, feel like that's the guy to lead the offense?
He's been in the program for a while, since he was in eighth grade. He's a senior this year. He knows all what we're all about. He's durable. He's been in tough spots. He's calm. He's just a leader that we need. So he's definitely the guy for us. We're excited about the chances he's going to have.
Yeah, we're talking to Dan River head coach Micah Knight on our preseason podcast. You know, what area, you know, we're a little over 2 weeks out from the start of the season. What area, I guess, is an area that you feel like is kind of a key area for you guys, you know, if you're going to be able to have, you know, a really good season?
Wide receiver core. We're fast, and we have a lot of guys who can make plays. So if we get the ball in their hands, we'll see some success.
You mentioned the wide receiving core, and obviously you know you're pretty high on your offense going into this season. You know, just overall, what do you think will be the keys for this team this year if you guys are gonna, you know, have a good year?
Staying healthy, taking care of our bodies, getting our conditioning in, staying healthy. I think we got a good chance to make a deep run.
Again, we've been talking to Dan River head coach Micah Knight on our preseason podcast, as they'll get the season underway on August 29th when they take on Tunstall. Coach, as always, appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck this season.
Thank you, my friend.
And again, that was Dan River head coach Micah Knight joining us on our preseason podcast. Again, they'll open the season with Tunstall on August 29th. They do have a benefit game against Magna Vista this Friday on August the 22nd. So pretty interesting early season tune-up for both of those teams this Friday as well. The last team that we obviously haven't discussed yet, that's the lone new coach in the area, Chatham Cavaliers under new leadership, Josh Brumfield, former Chatham player. He has coached at Hargrave, Averett, and it, you know, turned around the program at Bartley Yancey a few years ago and turned them into a playoff team year in and year out. So, I mean, he's got the coaching experience, but there's a ton of turnover at Chatham, a lot of new guys. It's hard to really know what to expect from them in terms of record this season. But one thing I can tell you after you hear this interview, if you're a Chatham fan or a Chatham alum, you're going to like his attitude towards building the program.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's definitely familiar with the program. He actually was at Chatham back in the mid-2000s, in our time period. Yep. And it's hard to believe that, you know, this first time in a long time Chatham's had a coach that was actually an alum of Chatham High School. So it's been a while. So it is very interesting to see what's going to happen down the stretch. And it's going to be a lot of turnover, like you mentioned, Ryan, and a lot more question marks than a lot of the other teams in this area. But, you know, the thing is, looking at their schedule, they have a chance. You know, don't really know much about Prince Edward and really know hardly anything about Smith Mountain, Lake Academy.
Yeah, it's not like Christian Academy. The thing is, like, their schedule, it doesn't look awful, especially the first four games. I mean, I don't know a ton about Prince Edward, so kind of hard to evaluate that one. But, you know, Tunstall's a game that they could maybe get. Smith Mountain Lake, potentially, maybe. And then they're at Patrick County. It's another – Patrick County's typically not very good. You know, I haven't kept up with them the last couple of years, really, since they left the Piedmont District. But, you know, they could potentially get off to a decent start. And then, you know, if you get off to a decent start and build some confidence, then, you know, you can maybe be a thorn in some people's sides in the once you get into district play. And, you know, it's a thing where, like, if you know, it's also easier as a new coach – if you get a couple wins early, it's a whole lot easier for the kids that are there to buy in and start believing. So that, you know, I think that's, you know, it's another team that we've kind of said this a lot, but the starts of the season is going to say a lot, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think with a younger team, get off to a good start, you get the ball rolling in a positive direction where you keep getting momentum. Thing is, I think that also, they could kind of be an under-the-radar team this year because nobody's really going to expect as much from them because of all the new pieces and the new coaching staff. You just don't know what to expect. And the thing is, you know, they're playing with house money right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that you'll hear from Coach Brumfield here in a second is he doesn't 100% know what to expect this year either. As he's going to be very honest with you about the situation currently at Chatham and the amount of changes and, you know, what they're kind of having to correct that's gone on the last few years or whatever. You know, he's gonna be very honest with you about it in this interview. But it's gonna be interesting to watch and see how they do in year one under Coach Brumfield. And we'll step aside and let you hear from Coach Brumfield now here on our preseason podcast. And now joining us on our preseason high school football preview podcast is the new head coach of the Chatham Cavaliers, Josh Brumfield. So, I mean, Josh, you know, with it being your first season at Chatham, just kind of, you know, tell everybody your background for those that might not be aware.
Coaching-wise, so I'm from Chatham originally, played here, graduated here, had plenty of recognition here, depending on how far you want to go back, but you know, all Metro Offensive Player of the Year as an offensive lineman, all state and as an offensive lineman, all region, defense and offense. Went from here, was the starting center for the Hargrave postgraduate team. And then after that, I ended up staying local and playing at Averett. And then I helped coach at Chatham High School for 1 year. And then I left there. I went to Hargrave and coached their high school program for 4 years along with other sports. I was assistant coach, but I also worked with the postgraduate football team while I was over there in the offseason doing their combines and helping with film over there. And then eventually, once I finished up earning my master's degree, I went to North Carolina. I actually took a middle school coaching job there, just for the teaching position primarily, but ended up getting some really great experience there. We were in the same conference with Reedsville and some of those other really dominant programs, ended up winning a championship there. And then shortly after that, they asked me to come to the high school and take over at Bartley-Yancey. And I took over a program that hadn't won that hadn't had a winning season in over 30 years. And then after 2 years with about three wins in each of those seasons, we went, I believe, 9-2. And then after that, you know, for the next 4 years, rarely won less than 8 games or so. Had, you know, winning seasons for 4 years in a row, placed probably at least 4 to 6 kids in some level of college playing ball every year with some type of scholarship money. And then from there, I spent the last 2 years helping coach at Avery University, you know, in a minor role that, you know, worked along with me teaching. And I was actually teaching at Chatham High School last year while coaching at Avery. And during that time, you know, I got to know the kids and everything. I feel like they did have some toughness and some commitment and some things to offer under the right leadership. So that's when I became interested in the job here.
Obviously you have plenty of coaching experience. I mean, you're familiar with Chatham, with going there and also, you know, previously coaching there. But in particular, that last year teaching there, that you had last year before taking over the head coaching job, how much of a, you know, advantage do you think that is for you in your first year, the fact that you kind of already have relationships with these guys?
It is an advantage in some ways, for sure, you know, as far as knowing them and getting an idea for what they were dealing with. The biggest thing is to really know what they were dealing with and seeing it firsthand, because I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. But, you know, they were used to being able to get suspended and play the same week and not show up to practice and show up for the games and play. And they had guys last year joining the team as late as week 7 of the regular season and then come in and start the next week. So just the lack of any type of accountability for behavior or grades or even coming to practice, let me know what I, you know, had to correct first. And I couldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it for myself all year as a teacher. So that gave me a big advantage. So, you know, that has been my main focus point. You know, X's and O's, that will come. You know, we can adjust. We know it. We're getting in the system. But my main thing before anything else was just holding some type of standard as far as, you know, commitment with attendance. And then, you know, as the school year has started, they've been hearing, you know, what the expectations are to do discipline and grade wise. And we're going to build upon that with having some pretty good turnout through this summer. We had 30 to 40 guys at all workouts this summer, just about. And we got on the campuses of probably 6 different universities, and we did 707s probably twice a week. And we were here, you know, working 5 to 6 days a week, you know, all but the dead periods. And it still was not up to my standard, but everybody from the area that knew previously what it was, you know, was impressed and said, typically in the last couple of years, there's only been 4 to 5 guys in workouts. So with us graduating a whole lot of talent and then some other kids transferring, you know, during the transition and waiting to see who the coach was going to be, you know, we did lose a lot of talent, but my main, you know, and that is what it is, but my main focus has been trying to get some type of stability here and hold some standards.
You mentioned, you know, holding the accountability and the standards. In terms of, you know, on the field, what you're seeing, you know, so far, I guess, what do you think is, you know, kind of the outlook for this team this year?
Well, I've told my guys that really right here, not much is going to surprise me. And this is the first time that I haven't been able to really gauge where we will be at. So, and the reason I've said that is, and the guys are, for the most part, the older guys are buying in, but there's still a couple of key guys that I don't know, you know, which way they're going to go. And I'm not bending my standard. So that's gonna really determine how the team goes as far as wins and losses is how they buy in and what they do, because we're not changing the standard. We're gonna do it the right way or do it without them. And like I said, they're doing decent, but I want to see how that lasts. So, you know, winning eight games or so, and I'm not picking any two out that we can't, but winning eight games or so truly wouldn't surprise me. I know that would surprise a whole lot of people, but winning eight games or so would not surprise me by a lot. But as I told them, if things go south character-wise, not winning a single game wouldn't surprise me. And in all seriousness, last year with, I think I saw the last game, as far as I understand, they had already canceled the JV season and they dressed everybody they had in the program. And it was only seven kids that could return this year dressed at the end of the season last year, you know? So, and obviously we had a couple more that came back out or whatever, but when you finish a season with only seven kids total for the whole program, you know, the outlook is not that great. So, in all honesty, with how things were going, I was scared that my hometown school was not going to even have a football program this year, if we're being completely honest. So, right now, what I am confident in is that we're going to have a full JV team, as well as obviously a full varsity team. We expect to play a full schedule, and we are going to do things the right way. And that being said, some things we are going to do right way. We're going to be conditioned. We're going to be in good shape. We're going to play physical, and we're going to play discipline, and we're going to get after it. We have a huge, huge learning curve, considering, you know, only having a few players back from that and going for a bunch of new guys. So, you know, I honestly can't give you but so great of a you know, idea of what we will be, but I can guarantee you we're going to do it the right way.
Again, we're talking to the new Chatham head coach, Josh Brumfield, as they'll get the season underway in a couple weeks on the road at Prince Edward. Just, you know, when you look at the schedule that you guys have this season, just kind of what are your impressions of what you guys have on the schedule this year?
It's a good schedule. We have some tough teams, but I definitely want to play that level of competition, because if we have any kids that want to be able to go on to the next level, they need to see some decent competition. I really feel like if we just do the basics, you know, here for a year and I get a true off season this upcoming year, I don't see anybody on there that we shouldn't be able to compete with if we just do the basics right. We have some athletes in Chatham. We have some size in Chatham. It's just a matter of holding the standard and getting them out there and doing things right in the off season. So for the future, I definitely feel like we can compete with everybody well. For this year coming up, it's a whole lot of uncertainty just because of us. But I also feel like we have some teams on the schedule that are battling some of the same things that, you know, all the schools are and all the smaller schools are now, with numbers and things like that. So I'm really going down, getting involved in the youth program, and I will be hands-on coaching the JV team this year as well. So all that bodes, you know, very well for the future. And as far as this year, I think we can compete with most of the teams we play. We'll see how much, you know, mental mistakes and so many young players, you know, on the field, we'll see how much that factors in and hinders us. But I think, you know, physically and everything, I think that we can contend with most of the teams on the field, on our schedule.
Yeah, we've been talking to Josh Brumfield, the new head coach at Chatham High School. Josh, appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and wish you the best of luck this season.
All right. Thank you for reaching out.
And again, that was new Chatham head coach Josh Brumfield joining us on our preseason football podcast. Ryan Stone, Brandon Burnett here with you. And yeah, the five coaches from the area. Certainly looking forward to the season. A lot of interesting storylines to watch for these teams this year. And you know, most importantly, it means that the high school football and football in general is back.
It's hard to believe. I tell you, this year has flown by. All seasons went by very quickly. It's just hard to believe it's almost here. We're just mere days away.
Yeah, we're, as we record this, like I said, 4 days away from the start, or at least from the benefit games, which is kind of the start of the high school season, and then you get into the to the regular season kickoff, of course, on August 29th. And one more reminder, on August 22nd, we will have the Gretna GW game on WBTM 102.5 FM 1330 AM and WBTMDanville.com. We'll also have the GW opener and all GW games on WBTM as usual this this season. And certainly looking forward to it. Think it's going to be a good year for a few teams in this this area. So definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, today it's just it's really exciting because, you know, whenever the weather starts to change and you start to see the leaves change, you know football's here.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Again, this has been I've been joined by Brandon Burnett. I'm Ryan Stone. Thank you for listening to our preseason podcast here from WBTM and WAKG.